Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks for joining us. Good to have you on board. 90 minutes left in the show. We need your votes for the Hall of Flame induction. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And we are pleased to welcome Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post, covers sports and writes about the big topics, which right now are the fact that sports are trying to plan their returns. And Mike, on this show, we've been talking a lot about how sports really feed into the economy. We've seen governors around the country, New York, New Jersey, California, Texas, Florida, Arizona, others say, hey, we'll take the sports teams back because they want that extra boost to the economy. How important is it for a state like, say, New York or New Jersey to get these teams back in place?
Well, it's fundamental. I mean, all of that. I mean, obviously, look, I mean, there are a lot of people in New York and New Jersey hurting because they can't go to restaurants. And not just the owners, although they're the ones who obviously are the ones whose businesses are on the line, but, you know, just regular folks who, you know, part of their regular lives is being able to go out and socialize at restaurants and saloons, you know, two or three times a week. So it's an essential part of what makes the fabric of any city, but especially in New York. And certainly sports is something that helps kind of bring people together in that regard. So that's all part of it. I mean, you know, when you're talking about the great restart, whenever that happens, I mean, sports is going to be a fundamental part of all of that because of that.
Mm. Major League Baseball has tossed around a bunch of different concepts, as the commissioner calls them, not necessarily plans. Thinking about what we've heard so far, and I know that baseball and the Players Association is trying to hammer out an agreement of sorts, but what concept makes the most sense to you, Mike?
Well, the one that makes most sense to me, Amy, is the one where you're dividing it by geography. I know that doesn't help as much teams on the West Coast as there's a team on the East Coast, because the teams in the East are fairly bunched together, and it just kind of logically follows that you could kind of just keep it within the one region, within one time zone, in fact, for the whole season, which would be a unique experience. And I just think, look, if we just look at this entire baseball season, it's kind of a one-year kind of rogue season where everything's on the table, everything is off the table, where, you know, a guy might hit 425, we'll have to deal with the fact, is that a real 400 hitter? Where a team's going to win the championship, and you wonder, is that going to be considered a legitimate championship?
Right.
But all of that stuff is on the table. And so I think that the thing that makes the most sense in terms of making sure that we're ensuring a safe season and one that can be played to its conclusion is to keep teams in their own region, at least till the playoffs. And that certainly makes for some interesting stuff in the East Coast, because you have probably the Mets and the Yankees in the same division for starters. But, you know, I wouldn't be in favor of doing that permanently, but certainly if it allows baseball to get off the ground quicker and more easily, I'd be in favor of that.
Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post, talking a little baseball and sports in this spring of 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. That would be interesting in the different geographical matchups that we would see more and more to limit travel. But obviously the major hurdle right now is the economics. And we've had players come out very strongly suggesting that in no way in hell will they take another pay cut after they've already had a, you know, prorated agreement. Then you've got owners who are saying, well, I mean, if you're only going to get paid for the number of games you play, maybe we'll limit the number of games you play. I don't know. What's the right compromise here, Mike? What makes sense?
Look, the right compromise is for the millionaires and the billionaires to realize that none of us has the stomach for this at this point. None of us has the patience for this. I mean, there's 40 million people out of work, and there's over 100,000 people now who have died of the disease. So, I mean, this is not a time to be squabbling. I'm not minimizing the Players Association's goals and the fact that they've, you know, made certainly some legitimate arguments over the years to receive, kind of get to the footing they've gotten. And those are battles worth fighting, just not now. You know, they have to figure out a way to make this happen. If it's safe to play, they have to figure out a way to get back on the field and play these games, because nobody wants to hear about it right now. And the contract itself wasn't up. The CBA isn't, you know, the official talks aren't supposed to happen until next year. Wow. Have the tough talks next year. If it comes down to a point where you're, you know, approaching your kind of the 0 hour again, like you did in 1994, I guess we'll deal with it then. This is just not the time. This is the wrong time to do it, and it'll be the wrong hill to die on, I think, for the players, because the players are the ones who are going to wind up getting roasted in the public relations forum, because it always happens that way. The owners are always going to have kind of the court of public opinion, because nobody wants to sympathize with millionaire baseball players. But it's a worthwhile fight, but it's one that should be fought on a different day, I believe.
Mike, it's funny because you have these players who think that they're willing to die on that hill, as you point out, and yet the Rays open up Tropicana Field for some limited workouts, and the athletes are all smiles. There's only 14 of them, and they have to go through all of these various health and safety protocols, but they're so excited to get back to the sport, and I kind of feel like if that would happen, if they could just get back to playing, not only would fans be so grateful, but the players would feel good about what they were doing, too.
You're so right, Amy, because let me look. I mean, athletes have a finite number of innings. You know, there's only so much time they're going to be able to be major league players, no matter what their sport is. And they've already lost a quarter of the season. They're going to certainly lose at least a half of the season. They don't ever get that back. They're never going to get that back in the back end. The owners will be in business that they want to be for the next 30, 40 years. They'll get it back. The players themselves, their careers are fleeting. And I think that ultimately, I think you're right. I think once they are back, they'll be glad that they are back. And I think that you kind of sense that a little bit with the NBA. The NBA's, you know, premier players all really have a hankering to get back, and it's because
yes.
of that. But I think they will be back. And I think that that's the important thing to remember is that, you know, and I sometimes would get lost when you start talking about labor stories in sports. These guys really do enjoy playing. Sometimes it gets lost in the other issues. And I think, you know, what do they do best? They play baseball best. That's what they do in anything in the world better than anybody else in the world. And I think ultimately that would give them an awful lot of satisfaction, assuming, again, that they could do it safely and without kind of any worry that there'd be any massive outbreak among the leagues.
Mike, you say they have a finite number of innings, but Bartolo Colon is 47 now and believes that he's got more. What are the chances the Mets bite on this, since he's interested in returning with the Mets?
You know, the Mets have a lot of fond memories of Big Sexy on their team. no team ever has enough pitching. They always find that out every year. I'd be very surprised if the Mets make that happen, but you know what? There's a lot of teams that could use a pitcher right now, and certainly he's a guy who's shown that he can go, you know, take the field and give you a rubber arm for an entire season, certainly half a season. I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up somewhere. I'd be very surprised if he was at the Mets though.
Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So which seems stranger? Which one do you think would be odder? NBA, you know, and the Brooklyn Nets have reopened their facilities for these individual workouts now, but NBA games, maybe postseason games without fans, or a huge, massive, empty baseball stadium like, say, Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be more jarring to see baseball, I think, because baseball just it's an everyday part of it, and it's the roar of the crowd that kind of is part of the soundtrack of every day, which isn't to say that NBA games aren't going to seem weird without fans. I do think that it's easier to kind of simulate things. I mean, whether it's getting, you know, whether it's filtering in crowd noise, whether it's getting, you know, seat fillers. I think that's a little more effective when you're talking about a smaller venue. I think it's going to be harder to find 50,000 seat fillers for Yankee Stadium, and that's going to make it very, you know, kind of strange. But it's all going to be strange, and I think that's part of one of the things that we're all kind of, you know, starting to come to terms with. And I mean, you know, look, I mean, watching. You know, watching the first match playing golf where these guys were all carrying their own bags is a little different. And even watching the celebrity one last week where they're all, you know, driving around in individual carts and, you know, trying to socially distance as well as they can without a gallery. You know, it's a very weird dynamic. Even we don't think of a golf gallery as being a huge element of of sports fandom, but it is, you know. I mean, especially how many millions of times have we still, or have we heard somebody yell, "You're the man," when somebody tees off and you don't hear that anymore. And that's just one of the elements that we're going to have to get used to. But, again, I think that's part of what the deal is for us as sports fans, is having to figure out, you know, what new normal looks like, at least for the normal that's going to apply between now and whenever we get a vaccine and we can actually declare ourselves kind of, you know, over this, whenever that's going to be, if that's ever going to be.
One of my favorite moments of the match with the four celebrity golfers was when Peyton made the quip about how difficult it was to make that putt with the crowd so loud and obnoxious and the gallery so big. So, yeah, they notice it, too, for sure. I mean, you know, in talking with athletes, I've asked some of them, can you imagine what it's like to be out there without fans? Now, some have said, okay, when I played in college, you know, we played in some empty arenas or some empty parks. But, the idea that Fox is planning, at least Fox is planning on pumping in crowd noise, kind of indicates that it would be really strange if it was completely dead silent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I'm not sure that I'm necessarily a fan of that part of it either. I think that might be a little weird. But look, I mean, I think it's all going to be kind of a start and stop and see what works, see what doesn't. I think there'll be a lot of spaghetti thrown against a lot of walls. See what sticks, see what doesn't, see what people like, see what they don't. But I do know one thing. I think people are going to watch, and I think that they're going to tune in. They're going to care. I think that a lot of times I think we sometimes have taken sports for granted because we have it so much of a part of our everyday lives, and now that it's not been a part of any of our lives for 2 months, I do think you're going to see people that are going to start appreciating being able to, you know, all the great things about sports, whether you're talking about watching it as a fan, fantasy football, any of that stuff. I think people will appreciate that a lot more once they have it now that they've lost it for the last couple of months.
Right, for sure. We'll never take it for granted. Mike, before I let you go, I've enjoyed asking various members of the sports broadcasting industry this question the last couple of months. What do you miss the most?
Yeah, I miss baseball because what I miss is the everydayness of it. The fact that, you know, whether it's Tuesday, whether it's Thursday, whether it's Sunday afternoon, whether it's Monday night, you know you're going to find a baseball game. Even if your team is not playing that night, there's going to be two or three other options. It's just the way it is. It's the way baseball has become just a daily part of our lives for 6 months a year. And I've really missed that. I'm just going to miss, you know, I'm going to welcome back having that soundtrack in my life again whenever that comes back. And I've really missed that. Well, probably more than anything else right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's typically my soundtrack of summer, and we call them the boys of summer. And so to not have it seems like there is a major void. Mike Vaccaro on Twitter at Mike Vac, V-A-C-C. And he's a sports columnist, so pretty much covers anything he wants for the New York Post. It's good to have you. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Great talking, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
Lots of really great points made by Mike, the part about the economy and sports being so tied into the economy and stimulating the economy, but also how the millionaires and the billionaires need to get together, because right now we don't have the patience, we don't have the stomach, we don't have the compassion, we don't have the capacity to be able to care about their argument over millions and millions of dollars. So we appreciate Mike joining the show for the first time. We've got 1 hour to go, your Hall of Fame inductees and some QB news coming up next hour, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.